So this week is Parshas Re'eh. So the pasuk, the seder begins, Re'eh si anoichi noisen ifnechem hayem brocha klolo. I'm putting in front of you today blessing and a curse. Es habrocha ashetishmu el mitzvus Hashem elekecho. The blessing that you listen to the commandments of God, that I'm commanding you to do, and the curse is if you don't listen. So by the blessing, it doesn't say the blessing is if you listen. It says the blessing that you listen, whereas by the curse it says the curse if you don't listen. Late in the Seder, there's a posuk that says, it's in Kapitel Yud Gimel posuk Hey, Acharei Hashem Elokeichem Teilechu. Walk behind God, right? Which means, I guess, follow God. V'oisoi tiro'u, and Him you should fear. V'es mitzvoisov tishmoiru, and His commandments you should keep. And His voice you should listen. And Him you should worship. And in Him you should cleave. To Him you should cleave. So the Gemara says, how could you cleave to God, right? So the Gemara says, He dobe. If you copy God, if you act in the way God acts, like God is goimel chasodim, God gives kindness, God buries the dead, God visits the sick. So God does that, so you do that. Still, it's a very interesting verse, right? The whole verse, it gives us six different categories of things. Right, so the first one is walk behind God. Achrei Hashem Elokeichem Teilechu. Implicit in that is that God has turned His face away, right? I mean, if you're walking behind somebody, that means that they're walking in front of you and they've got their back to you. The Ishbitzer, the Bisyakov, often brings from the Rezil HaMalach, who says that the first thing that God did when He created the world, when He created the universe, is that He turned His face away from it. So there is implicit in the way the universe operates that there's a distance. I can follow God, you know. I can walk behind, but that means that God is walking in front of me with His face turned away. And that's the meaning of Lechtech Acharai Bamidbar. God says, you followed me in the wilderness. Because it says in the Kisvei Ari that even at Matan Torah, even at the giving of the Torah, and after that, our relationship with God was Ponim Ba'ochar, face to back. It's only when Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim, that for a while we were ponim b'ponim, face to face. But that was because you could go into the temple at any time and it was clear to you. God was like, you were face to face, right? So the second level is to fear God. V'oisoi tiro. The third level is es mitzvos of tishmoiru, to keep His commandments, to guard His mitzvos. And then the fourth level is uvekoylo sishmo, to listen to His voice. The next level is voisei savoidu, and Him you shall worship. And then finally, avoid tibokun, and cleave to Him. So the Bis Yaakov He brings the Gemara. The Gemara in Shabbos says there are six levels. There are six orders of the Mishnah. Each of the orders of the Mishnah refers to a level of the verse. The verse says, "V'hoyamunas itecho choisin Yeshua's chochmas v'das." The verse in Isaiah 33. So the verse says, and it will be emunas, the faith or the steadfastness, is how it's translated, itecho of your times, choisin, the strength, Yeshua's salvation, chochmas, wisdom, v'das, and knowledge, and then the fear of God, that's the ultimate. So the Gemara says, V'yamunas itechos, it looks at the six orders of the Mishnah. The first order of the Mishnah is Zroim. Zroim deals with planting seeds, agriculture. So planting seeds, agriculture, that is emuno. That requires faith. It's interesting, on the simple level, what does it mean it requires faith? Well, you've got a sack full of grain. Why don't you just take that sack full of grain and eat it? What do you mean, you're going to put it in the ground till it rots? Well, because I have faith that it will grow into 8 sacks or 10 sacks of grain. It's worth my while to invest it in planting, because, so that's one level of understanding. But the Ishbitz says, where's the emunah in that? Every farmer since the beginning of time knows that you plant things in the ground and it grows if you water it. So where's the grace? What's the big faith, the emunah? So he says, what really the Gemara means is that even though you plant something in the ground, even though you do something as natural and as ancient as agriculture, you still understand that what makes the grain germinate and turn into an ear of corn is the fact that it's the Word of God. So emunah, in the sense of the Seder Zroim of this agriculture, that the faith of the agriculture is really that you continue in spite of the fact that you're doing something that this farmer over there, this pagan and this goy, everybody, they're all doing it, and they think it's the most natural thing in the world. Your faith is that even this most natural thing in the world is actually a miracle and a divine intervention, and nothing would happen. Like the Gemara says, no blade of grass would grow unless there's a particular malach telling it to grow. Emunas itecho, all right, so the times, the faith of the times. Times is the second order of the Mishnah, which is Moed, times, and it deals with Shabbos, Yontif. The third level is Chosen, strength, and that Chosen is the order of the Mishnah called Noshim. It deals with women, with marriages, with divorces, and with ketubah, and inheritance, Yevomos, Yibum, and so forth. So V'hoya emunas itecho choisen, the strength Yeshua's of salvation. Salvations of Gemara, this deals with the fourth order of the Mishnah, which is Nezikin, and that's torts, damages, and contracts, and so forth. There a person needs salvation. The fifth level is Kodshim, and it deals with everything to do with the temple, the sacrifices, and so forth, and that's called Chochma. And finally, the next level is Das, and Das deals with Taharis, which is the last order of the Mishnah. Then the Gemara says, when a person comes up to heaven after 120 years, the first question that he gets asked is Nasesu v'nusatu be'amunu. Did you do business with faith? When you gave your word in business, could you be trusted? There's a lot of ways of understanding this question. The Seisav and Asata Be'amuna, when you did business, did you do it with faith, right? It's in the same way that the farmer plants his corn and he's not really trusting in the laws of nature, he's trusting God. In the same way, when you invested your money in the market, you know, were you trusting the market or were you trusting God? So the Gemara makes a direct connection between these six levels, these six words of the Pasuk in Isaiah, and these six questions that a person is asked. So the first question that we said is, Nesesav Nesat Bemunit, did you do business with honor, with faith, faithfulness? The second question that a person is asked in the Olam HaEmes, in the world of truth, is Kovato Itim LeTorah, did you set aside specific times to learn Torah? The third question is Osakto Bepiryo V'Ribyo, did you busy yourself with marriage? Did you help people? Did you help brides and grooms get married? Did you go dance at their wedding? Did you help people to sort out marital problems? Not did you yourself bring children into the world, right? But did you help the world produce children? The fourth question is Tzipiso LiYeshua. Did you anticipate salvation? Did you have hope? Did you, in spite of everything that you saw and that you experienced, did you always in your heart continue to have faith in the words of the prophets, says Rashi. The fifth question we get asked is Pilpalta b'chochma, did you learn Torah like a dunce? Or did you learn Torah like a chocham? There's a big difference. And the final question is Hevanto Dova Mitoich Dova. Did you understand things from things? Did you understand things that come out of things? Did you from the word understand the other word? So these six questions, it's interesting that the very first question is about business. But the Gemara in then Shabbos that brought the previous verse with the six levels of the six orders of the Mishnah is making a connection between that and these six questions that a person gets asked. Because the first question is about emuna, and we said that's the first word of the pasuk v'hoya emuna sitecho, and we said that that deals with zeroim, which is agriculture, which is business. The second one is Kovato Itim LaTorah, did you set aside times for learning Torah, which is the equivalent of the Itim, the times, which is the order of the Mishnah called Moed. The third one is Osakto Bepiryo V'Ribyo, which it corresponds to the Seder Noshim, which is, does with marriages and divorces and so forth. The fourth one, we said, is Yeshua's, and in fact that's the question you get asked, Tzipisa Yeshua, did you have expectations of Yeshua, of salvation? The fifth one is Chachma, and the question is Pilpalto B'Chachma, did you do Pilpul? Did you ask smart questions? And the final one is Havanto Dova Mitoch Dova, which is Taharas, which is Das, knowledge. So now, in this week's Sedra, the Beis Yaakov, the Ishbitzer, he says, if we look what Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, Acha Hashem Elokeichem Telechu, walk behind God. So he says in this verse, with its six levels, with its six demands, we're also connecting with these six levels of the Mishnah and the six words of the verse in Isaiah and the six questions that we get asked in the other world. So the first one is, do you follow God? And that's the meaning of the question, Noseisov Nesata Baimuna, were you faithful in business? Because he says to follow God means that you can't really see God's face. So if you turn away from the Torah, like you stop learning, you go out to do business. So why are we sitting and learning here? Why are we sitting here and listening to the Torah? However hard life is, we can feel in the presence. We can feel the presence of God. We can feel the face of God. We are the face of God. We're learning the Torah. We represent the Torah when we're learning it. We're speaking it. It's coming out of our mouths. So we are the mouth of God. Whatever it is that we're looking for, it's right here. But if I close the book and I say, now I'm going to go do business, in a sense, that's the moment that God hides his face, right? I can't see the face anymore. I go out into the world to do business, so then the best that I can do is follow God. The next level is v'oisoi tiro, to fear him. So that corresponds to the question, did you set aside times for the Torah? Because that's really the meaning of setting aside time for the Torah. It doesn't mean, you know, I promise myself 10 minutes before I go to bed, I'm going to open the Sefer and I'm going to, you know, read a psalm, or I'm going to, you know, learn a Mishnah. I could learn the whole Mishnah and still not be connected to God if I didn't make a conscious effort. So the Kavata Itim LaTorah, what does it mean to set aside time for the Torah? It means to set in myself a place for the Torah to enter, which is another way of saying to fear God. Because that's the only real meaning of setting, of making real time for learning, is to open myself up to let God in, and not to put up a barrier, not to say, you know, not to say this part of me is inviolate and, you know, this is mine, this is me, not letting you in here, I don't want to change, you have to accept me, this is what I am. If I'm talking like that, then I'm still, you know, I'm not being kaveh etim l'tayra, I'm not letting God in, I'm refusing. The third level is ve'es mitzvois av tishmoru, to keep, to guard the mitzvahs. And that corresponds to that third level of the question, osakto b'piri v'ribyo, did you busy yourself with being fruitful and multiplying? Because to guard the mitzvahs, what does it mean to guard the mitzvahs? It means not to do as you please, but to do what you're supposed to do. The main moment when it comes to doing what you're supposed to do is when you bring something new into the world. It's very easy to bring something new into the world and then to have complete regrets, oh, what have I just done? So to be able to bring something new into the world and it to be something that's gonna last, then it has to be the right thing. To be the right thing, I have to guard the mitzvahs. What I do has to be congruent with the mitzvahs. And it matters most with hoilodo, with giving birth. So that's why he says this is the moment that the Torah says ves mitzvois of tishmoir. To really, you know, we said many times the word shmira, guarding, means to keep in your heart, to wait, to hold. So if I'm holding the mitzvahs, then when I bring something, when I invent something, when I create something, when I make something, then the thing that I'm making, the new thing, is imbued with what I have in my heart. And when I'm bringing something new, that's when I really need to be most guarded. The next level is ibukoloi tishmo, and to listen to his voice. We were learning in Sefer Yetzirah that there's something, there's the words, but the words are what come out of the mouth, right? There's something deeper. There's the voice. The coil is what is inside before the words come out. So there's a, you know, when somebody starts to speak, right, as soon as they start to speak, even before the words come out, you get the sense, you get the hischaskus, you hear the pre-verbal vocalization even before the words, and you, the person who's trying to say something to you, is already in that vocalization trying to convey what they want to say, and then the brain takes over, and then you know your word centers come in, and then, you know, all that muscles of the mouth and the tongue and everything turns the thought into words. But the coil, the voice that is there underneath and before the words, that really, in that voice, you are hearing not what the person is going to say, but what the person wants you to hear. So he says, the ubekoiloi tishmo'u, to listen to the voice of God is not to listen to the word. Listening to the words is like umitzvois of tishmo'u. Ubekoiloi tishmo'u, when to listen to the voice means to hear what's going on before the words, which is to say the desire that is going to come into the words, that's what's in the voice. So he says that corresponds to Tzipiso li Yeshua, did you wait on salvation? What it means to wait upon salvation means to be ready for that which is hidden, the Pnimius Hanister. So Tzipiso li Yeshua, to wait upon salvation, doesn't mean I'm waiting to win the lottery. That's not Tzipiso li Yeshua. I am waiting upon the salvation which is there in the desire of God. Then he comes to the next level, which is V'oisoi ta'avoidu, and you should worship God. So he says, the level of worshiping God, what does it mean? It corresponds in the Gemara and Shabbos to the question that they ask you, Pilpaltu b'chochma, did you learn Torah with chochma? So the reason I wanted to learn this Torah this week from the Ishbitzer is because of this line. He says like this, Kishe'odam soiva u'mevakish leida tam ha'halocha, if a person is trying to understand a halacha in Shulchan Aruch, right? I'm trying to understand Hilchas Shabbos, Hilchas Shechita, Ich Weiss Hilchas Gittin. I'm trying to understand something, so I go to a rabbi, I go to the Beis Din, I go to where, and I sit and I watch how they write a get, or I go to the slaughterhouse and I go watch them slaughtering an animal and how do they make the chalif koshin, whatever it is, whatever halacha that I want to know, I have to go and see how it's practiced, right? I'm going to see how the sofer writes the tefillin. That investigation, that learning, is called shimush. And it's like an internship, right? A young rabbi, before he can become practical dayan, you know, to teach in the yeshiva is one thing, but to become a dayan of a town, to be a rabbi, then you have to do shimush. You have to watch how rabbis do things. There's tricks of the trade. That learning process called shimush. And, you know, like we say in a shul has a shamus. He's the person who takes care of all the things that need to be taken care of, putting the books away and lighting the candles and turning the lights out and turning the lights on first thing in the morning, making sure it's like the practical things. That's called shimush. And in fact, the word tashmish is usage. And sex in the halacha and the gemara is called tashmish hamita, the use of the bed. Shimush means the practical. So if a person is practicing and is doing a practicum of halacha, it's called shimush talmidei chachamim. He is serving the Talmud Chachamim. I guess it also comes from, if you're the intern, you're the guy who makes the coffee and buys the tea, right? You're the guy who makes sure the water cooler is full of water. So there's that aspect of internship, that you are mishamish the Talmud Chachamim, that you serve the Talmud Chachamim. So the Ishbitzer says, what happens what happens if you're not looking, you don't want to know how the halacha is working in practice? What happens if you want to know how the world is working in practice, how the universe is working. Just as you would go to the Beis Din and watch the Talmud Chacham at work, if you want to know how the world is working, you have to come to God and know how God is working. He says that is called Shimush of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When we talk about worship, V'oisei ta'avoidu, he says, when the Torah tells us to worship God, it means that you lend yourself to God to try and understand the workings of God, in the same way that you would lend yourself to the Talmud Chacham to understand the workings of the Halacha. And that is called Shimush HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then he says something, and this is what caught my eye. Ki kol ma she'odam mizboinen, the more you try and understand how things work, bezeh yoyse yikshalay, the more questions you're going to have. The more you understand about the way God is running the world, the harder it becomes. The better you understand God, the more questions you're going to have. So, worship of God means that the more you know God, and the better shimush that you do, and the more use and the more practicum that you do, the harder it's going to become, because the more questions you're going to have, the less sense it's going to make. The better you know God, the more questions you're going to have. I wouldn't have said this. I think this. I wouldn't have dared to say it, but the Beis Yaakov says it, and then he goes on, and he brings that Medrash Tanchum Efemis Medrash. The Medrash says that there are four people who made statements that if anybody else made statements, people would laugh at them and say, "How do you know that?" Right? Yisro said, "At yadati ki godel Hashem mikol elokim." Now I know that God is greater than all other gods. Well, how do you know? Because Yisro was the kind of person, he worshipped every single idol and pagan idea and god in the world, and then he became a Jew. So if he said, "I know now that God is greater than all the gods," him you can trust. And then it says, Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Hatzur tomim poloi." He said, "God, the rock, his ways are perfect." How do you know? If anybody but Moshe had said, "The rock, his ways are perfect," we would have laughed and said, "Well, how do you know?" But Moshe Rabbeinu knew. And then he says, "Shelemoshe hoye yoyse kosho mikol ha'olam." Moshe had the most questions on God. "Ki hu hevin yoyse," because he knew most. You know, I think that we, in this, in our generation, you know, we're like the generation of, we're like Moshe Rabbeinu. We have the most questions. And this is called Chochmah. This is called Pilpalto B'Chochmah. And this corresponds to the Seder of Kodshim. You know, we don't have a temple today. We don't have all these sacrifices, all these offerings. You know what we have? We have the abyss that we walk into every time we open our eyes and go to sleep. Every time, you know, every time we think about God, and we think about the Jewish people, and we think about history, and we think about the story, the narrative, this big bottomless abyss opens up underneath us. And we ask God, you know, show us, give us some kind of a narrative that we can fit in with, you know, all the things that the prophets have taught us, and all the things that it says in the holy books, you know, starting with the Torah, going all the way to the books that are written in our generation, in every generation, the Siddur. Every time we open the Siddur, we daven, "Goyim el chasodim toivim v'koine ha'koyim." What does it mean in light of what we've seen, or how we see the world working? You know, one question that comes up that kind of puts it in for me into kind of perspective, right? We who are here today, we are the remnants of who, we came from Europe. We came either before the Holocaust or after the Holocaust, but even those who came before the Holocaust were still remnants left over from one persecution or another. So the biggest Nazi, right, the biggest Jew hater, who was he defeated by? On the one hand, he's defeated by the communists, right, who, I don't know if God had any bigger enemies than the communists, right? On the other hand, he's defeated by the British and the Americans. Which one of these is God's messenger? Which one of these is God using? Which one of these, frankly, which one of these is better or worse? Which? Are the communists better than the Nazis? The Nazis better than the communists? Are the English and the American better than the Russians or the Germans? I mean, which one is God using? Which one is God's tool? Which one is the revelation? None. So the story of the destruction of the Jews in Europe, the story of this Holocaust or the Shoah, the story, like, it has no denouement, right? It has no end. It has no catharsis, right? It doesn't have some kind of resolution. What it has is the question that gets bigger and bigger with every moment that passes, and there's no resolution, and there's no voice, and there's no. And we understand how it works, you know. Yeah, you got Joseph Stalin on one side and Winston Churchill and FDR, and I mean, this is how God works. So the more I know about it, v'oisei tavoidu. So this is the worship. This is going to be the question that we get asked in the other world. Pilpalta b'chochma. Pilpalta b'chochma. Did you open yourself up to pilpul in chochma? Did you try and learn things in a way that's not stupid? You know, from my parents' generation, they heard, this is what you mean. This is the will of God. You can't ask these questions. Heshi, there's no answer to these questions. I don't expect to answer the question. We got to frame the question properly. So we've got to do the pilpul of chochma. And then the Ishbitze goes on to say, and what's the final? The final level is uboitid bokun, and you should cleave unto God. He said that is the next level of the question that we get asked in the other world. Hevanto dova mitoich dova. Did you understand things from things? In other words, did you use your chochme to understand something that wasn't being said? So he says, what that means is that the world is changing. Yovines hashinuyim. A person has to understand the changes that are going on. You know, Reb Zalman, he should live to 120. He talks about the paradigm shift. And just for talking about the paradigm shift himself, that just that alone, to say that there is a paradigm shift, he's already completely outside. Why? The whole point about uboitid bokun, to cleave to God, is to understand, to know when there is a paradigm shift. That's mamish what he's saying. Ma shehashem isborech mechadesh b'chol yoim tomid ma'aseh bereishis. God is doing creation every single day, not repetition. God doesn't do the same thing twice. Every day it's a new world. And as Jewish people, we just tend to accept that what was yesterday is today, it's going to be tomorrow. This is a pagan idea, that the world is circular. As Jews, we believe that the world is evolving all the time. It's never the same. We say Shalom Aleichem every month in the light of the new moon, because the moon is new, but you and I are new. When we look at each other in that new light, it's like I never met you before. I say Shalom Aleichem. Boitid bokun, to cleave unto God, That's the question, is Hivanto Dova Mitoch Dova, did you understand the thing that came out of the thing? It's interesting, Toldos Yaakov Yosef, the Toldos Yaakov Yosef was the first one to publish the Torah of the Baal Shem Tov. And Baal Shem Tov said, had I only left behind Yaakov Yosef, it would be enough. So he brings from his Rebbe, and it's one of the few places where he talks about his Rebbe's Torah, and he says, and this is not exactly what he said, but this is actually what he meant. So the question is, the Gemara says, every day a voice goes out from Sinai, and it calls out, Oy lehem lebrius me'el boinah shel Torah, woe to the creatures from the shame that the Torah is feeling. In other words, the Torah is being disgraced all over the world. Woe to people. So the Holy Baal Shem Tov asked, what is this voice, this echo that goes out from Sinai? He says, my ears don't hear it. Who's there? Who is it that says that they hear this voice that goes out every day from Sinai? If somebody were to come and tell me that he hears this voice, I would say, you're lying. I mean, if you hear the voice, how come I don't hear the voice? Umihu ha-pesi ashe-yamin l'dvarav. Who's the fool that would believe anybody who says, I do hear it? So if nobody hears this voice, why is the voice bother to go out from Sinai saying, woe is to the shaming of the Torah? So the Baal Shem Tov answers, and the Toldos Yaakov says, even though it's not exactly what he says, this is what he means. The Gemara talks in Chagiga about Rabbi Shub and Hananiah, who was in Rome by the Caesar, in the house of the Caesar, and there was this Apicurus who, you know that famous joke about the Jew and the Pope who have this argument, but they use signals, they use hand signals instead of words. So there was something like that going on in the Caesar's house. So the Toldos Yaakov Yosef says, why does the Gemara bring this story? What's important about this story? And he says, because it tells you something about the way that the king's orders are given. And he says, and it's like that today. I think he was referring to the Sultan in Turkey, that he wouldn't give direct orders. That the king, it wasn't his job to give direct orders, that he would give remozim, he would give hints. He would say, I want this done, right? He didn't say, go build a bridge across that river. He says, you know, I want to be able to move my troops, you know, in an hour instead of into 4 days, right? So people would understand, oh, the king wants a bridge across this river. So, right. So the king has a way of saying things that are not explicit, that are implicit. So the Toldos Yaakov Yosef says the Gemara is bringing this because it wants to say that this is how Malchus speaks. It speaks in remozim, it speaks in hints. He says, and this is the Baal Shem Tov's answer to what does it mean that the voice goes out from Sinai every day saying woe to those who shame the Torah, that it doesn't, it's not a voice. God doesn't speak words. Why would God speak words? He doesn't have a mouth, he doesn't have breath. It's all about hints. The way Malchus speaks, the way that the sovereign speaks, is that you get the message. You get the message not because you get a piece of paper on which it's written. That's not how the message is going to come to you. The message is either going to come to you by the thoughts that go on in your mind, or by the longings that come out of your heart, or by the hirhure teshuva, those momentary glimpses and fragments of repentance that boil up from inside you, or, he says, from any of the other things that happen to you in a day. There are so many things that you see in the world. Everything that you come across in the world, or that you read in the newspaper, or that you watch on the television, whatever it is that you're seeing, these are all hints that are coming to you from heaven. So, of course, nobody's hearing an echo with words coming out from Sinai. But God is speaking to us all the time. And the things that we feel, those are the things that God is saying to us. So this week, the Piasetzner Rebbe says in the Eish Kodesh, in Pashas Re'eh, 1941, he says the pain that we have how could we say for a moment that this pain is God hiding his face? First he talks about, you know, pain is Hester. Then he says, come on, let's move beyond this. The pain that we're all in is in fact the revelation. Because it's God's pain, right? Whatever I'm really feeling, whatever I'm really, really feeling, the anguish or the joy, is because God is feeling the anguish and the joy. The only time it becomes a Hester, the only time that the things that are happening to me are in fact the hiding of the face of God, is when I deny that they're the revelation. And this is the meaning of the Sedra, Re'e Anoichi Noisin Lifneichem Hayim. Behold, God says, I'm putting in front of you today the blessing and the curse, the blessing that you'll listen. What does it mean, the blessing that you'll listen? That's the meaning of Re'e. You want to see God? You want to see God, you have to see that everything that is happening to you, the blessing and the curse, it's God. And then, Re'e Anoichi Noisin Lifneichem. What does it mean, Anoichi Noisin Lifneichem? If you can see how everything that is happening to you is in fact the revelation, then it's not I'm giving you a blessing and a curse, then I'm giving you myself, says God. Re'e Anoichi Noisin Lifneichem. That's the blessing, not the pain or the joy. The revelation that everything that I'm experiencing is God giving himself to me. Anoichi, the Gemara says, the word Anoichi, which is the first word of the Ten Commandments, is the notarikon of Ano, Nafshoi, Kasivas, Yehovah's. I myself have given and written, says God. I write myself down and I give myself to you as a piece of paper. I give myself to you as this book, as this Torah. But for us in our generation, it's not the Torah that we're being given. It's all these questions that we're being given. It's this abyss of faith, the abysmal faith that we have. And this is God giving himself to us. And this is the blessing. I bless you and me. God soon, in our times, today, should start to bless us with the answers.